Let us begin our reading this morning in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 8, and we'll read through the, chapter 2, and then we'll read down through verse 20. Let's hear the word of God now. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now we're going to focus in on verses 17 through 20 this morning. "And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Let me ask you to keep your Bibles open. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your goodness to us. We thank you especially for the grace that has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you would help us to once again hear this story of your grace in Christ Jesus afresh. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 week from today, 7 days from today, ready or not, Christmas is here. Now, how are you going to celebrate Christmas this year? For many of us, you know the story. Christmas is all about presents and parties and decorating our houses and Christmas trees and trips to see relatives, and all that is very good. But there's a message here from God's Word that we need to take to heart this morning, and the message is this. Since Jesus is born, and Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus, since Jesus is born, we need to celebrate Christmas in a distinctively Christian way. You know, if you even attempt to wrap your minds and hearts around what God has done, just the magnitude of it, sending his son into a fallen world, and not only that, but sending him into the son for us, these verses offer to us this morning three characteristics of a distinctively Christian Christmas celebration. So you need to ask yourself, is this true of the way I celebrate Christmas this year? First characteristic is this. A Christian celebration of Christmas is filled with wonder and amazement. Wonder and amazement. Notice in verse 18, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Let me ask you, is your response to Christmas a mirror image of verse 18? Because in the church, in the Christian community, we tend to lose the wow element of Christmas. We need to ask ourselves, why is it in the church we hear the Christmas story, we yawn, we roll our eyes, we thumb through our Bibles and hymn books at nothing less than the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ? I believe there are several reasons why we've lost that wow factor. And one reason is this. It's because we confuse entertainment with amazement. They're not the same things. We've grown up to be a very entertained people. We fed ourselves on a steady diet of Star Wars and computer-generated effects, action movies complete with chase scenes and pyrotechnic explosions. Our senses are bombarded with thousands of spectacular sights and sounds every day. Did you know in the average music video there is at least 3 images every second? and almost every other second a change in the angle of the video. And so we've been watching all this, and we've been conditioned to have very short attention spans. Watched a movie the other day, 20 years ago, I thought this movie was as action-packed as it could be. When I watched the movie again just a few weeks ago, it seemed to move as slow as molasses on a cold morning in Canada. So we take that mentality. We read about shepherds and angels and glory light, and it just doesn't do anything for us. It's because we've lost our ability to discern between entertainment and amazement. Another reason we've lost the wow factor of Christmas is this: we become too familiar with the story. Have you ever noticed sometimes you go to a place where the scenery is just spectacular? Some place like Estes Park, Colorado, or the Grand Canyons, Rocky Mountains, Smoky Mountains, and you'll notice the locals, people who've grown up there, it's no big deal to them. You know, it's the same old, same old. Much the same way we have grown up hearing the Christmas story, especially in church, so often that the repetition, the familiarity of the story has grinded down the edge of amazement. You know, been there, heard that. It almost sounds like white noise. You know, when you're tuning in on a radio, you hear shh. It sounds like that. Just it's white noise to us. But there's another reason why we've lost the wow element of Christmas, and that's because we're preoccupied with the trivial. Several years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote about a song. He was on a vacation trip. He saw a couple of parents, and their two children are walking along a trail in the middle of the Grand Canyon. These parents are trying their best to point out all the glories of the canyon, and the kids are doing this. Beautiful glory of God being displayed. And what are they doing? They're playing with this. Back in the day when he wrote the song, it was Game Boys. Now it's iPads, iPhones. Hope you see yourself in that story. We're confronted every day with the glory of God. No matter where you go, you see it. You see it in the skies. You see it everywhere. You see the glory of God. And instead of soaking it in, we're preoccupied. iPhones, iPads, games, text, emails, Instagram, Facebook posts. None of that is as significant as what we've just read this morning. You know, I'm afraid that too many of us has lost our amazement at the birth of Jesus. You need to ask yourself, what is it that's blocking my view? Am I confused because I'm seeking to be entertained and not amazed? Have I become too familiar with the story? And I mentioned this next thing to you ladies especially because you're the workers in the house. You really are. Have you become a Martha? So busy, so preoccupied with doing this and that and then some more of this and that and the holiday preparations, you no longer seem to have time to choose what Jesus says is the better choice of sitting at the Lord's feet and hearing once again the amazing story of the infinite God, this God who holds every particle of the universe together with the super glue of His sovereignty. This God who at a point in time and space and history squeezed Himself into the womb of a virgin. He became one of us, except without sin. He grew up, He lived, He suffered, He died to save us and secure for us a place in His forever family. Friends, that is amazing. The gospel of God's grace in Christ is amazing. So be amazed this year at the birth of Christ. Allow yourself to be blown away by this baby. Be astounded at the awesome act of God. Be people who walk around filled with wonder. The grace of God has appeared in a manger, a cattle trough, and a tiny dot on the map called Bethlehem. I say to you this day, if the snap, crackle, and pop of amazement has left the cereal bowl of your Christmas and your senses are soggy, you need to pray for God to pour you a new bowl of amazement that doesn't get stale or soggy. Notice me in the second place, besides wonder and amazement, the second characteristic of a Christmas that is distinctively Christian in flavor, and not like everybody else's, but Christian, is this. A Christian celebration of Christmas is filled with praise and glory. Praise and glory, not just wonder and amazement, but praise and glory. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God. Notice that. Now, I want to unpack for you. Sometimes you have to not just look at the meaning of a word, but the emotional impact of a word. Let me unpack the emotion in the word praise. Now, I'm going to set up an imaginary scene. Put yourself in this scene, okay? Let's say USM, Mississippi State, or Ole Miss is playing this year for the national championship. Like I said, use your imagination. Your team is behind 21-17. 30 seconds left to go. The punter kicks the ball, and he kicks it a long way, but he doesn't kick it quite right. And instead of going like this, it goes like this. Your punt returner catches it on the 5-yard line. He zigs and zags, misses several tacklers. He almost trips 3 or 4 times. But somehow he goes 95 yards, punt return, and the ending buzzer sounds as he crosses the goal line. Now, picture in your mind, what does the bench look like? What does the stands look like? What does it look like in the locker room? What does it look like at Buffalo Wild Wings? What does it look like in your house? I remember the night that it was a Sunday night that Southern Miss went from the Super Regionals to the World Series in baseball. And my children were pulling up in the driveway about the time that we won, and I was jumping up and down in the middle of the den. They thought I'd gone crazy. I had. I had a bad case of Eagle fever at that point in time. You know how it is. Your team just went from being unranked preseason to winning the national championship. It's a time to jump and dance and twist and shout and high fives and fist pump. That's the way it is. Now, think of that scene. Go to most any church today, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. Look real closely at the expressions on the faces of the people in the congregation, and you'll think you just walked into the loser's locker room. Think about it. Long faces. People looking like they've been weaned on dill pickles, baptized in lemon juice, and they just attended a reading of their Aunt Matilda's will, and Aunt Matilda left her entire fortune to the dog groomer. I want you to understand, there has never been anything like verse 11. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is an awesome accomplishment, a reason for rejoicing. We praise God for this fantastic news. So praise is our expression. But then the word glorify in verse 20 refers to our lifestyle. Praise is how we express ourselves. Our lifestyle is glorify. Now, to bring glorification, glorifying God, to something very practical, think for a moment of a telescope and a microscope. Purpose of a telescope is to take something far away and bring it near. The purpose of a microscope is to take something very small and make it large. Now, in our culture, God seems very small, very insignificant. You and I glorify God when we live our lives so that through the microscope of our words and actions, we show people we serve an enormous God, a big God who has done great things for His people. He's taken on our flesh to save us from our sin. Jesus came to live and die for sinners, not for good people, not for moral people, not for religious people, but sinners. We need to live as though God has really done something big in our lives. Also in this age, God seems so remote, so distant. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. a God who just doesn't want to get involved. But you see, we glorify God when people see through the telescope of our lives an event that has brought that distant God near, up close and personal. Listen, the God we know through the birth of Christ, the God we worship is not some remote, detached deity. Now, he's the God who brought heaven to earth so that he would provide a way for us to go from earth to heaven. The personal God, we know this God up close and personal. Why? Because he came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice in the third place, besides wonder and amazement, besides praise and glory, the third characteristic of a distinctively Christian celebration of Christmas is this. A Christian celebration of Christmas is filled with broadcasting and witnessing. Broadcasting and witnessing. Notice in verse 17, and when he saw it, they made known the things or the sayings that had been told them concerning the child. They broadcasted it. Turn with me back to a prophecy, Isaiah chapter 9. As you're turning, let me explain something about radio. In broadcasting, you have radio stations, and what they broadcast. They broadcast music, news, and information. You may listen to Miss 103 or K-Love or WJDX or my favorite station right now called The Legend, old country music, for an old country music addict. You have radios in your cars and homes and computers. They receive what's broadcasted. We see in the Bible, first of all, we are receivers. We receive the good news of the announcement of what God has done in Christ. But then we're commissioned to be broadcasters. Broadcasters. But broadcasters of what? You know, when I worked at WXXX in Hattiesburg, we did news at the top of the hour, the program director, the manager, whoever was there. But go back to the back of the station, and on a United Press International teletype machine, he'd rip off the top news stories for that hour. And there would be something called a broadcast copy. It would have the top stories, the most relevant stories, written out, even so the difficult to pronounce words were written out phonetically. And we would communicate the latest news to those listening to the broadcast, the very important salient points of the news. Well, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, what we have is four headline stories, four broadcast news stories that we need to broadcast to communicate to whatever audience we have. It may be your family, your extended family, your neighborhood, your work, your school, wherever you are. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And notice now, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let me give you four headlines to broadcast to others. Four ways to witness. Here it is. First headline is this. For those who are confused, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. You know, you look around, there are untold numbers of people in our culture that are confused. Confused about three questions. Let me encourage you to, if you write nothing else down, write down these three questions, because these are three core questions that get at the very heart of what people are confused about. Three simple questions. First of all, who am I? What is my identity? You've heard of identity politics. You've heard of identity issues. That's a crucial question. Who am I? What is my identity? Secondly, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my reason for living? And then third, where am I going? What is my destiny? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? See, the good news is this. This child born over 2,000 years ago answers the identity, purpose, and destiny questions. Think of it this way. When you come to Christ, you get an identity. The Bible refers to you as someone who is in Christ. The Bible refers to you as a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is your identity. That core identity never changes no matter what happens to you. You get a purpose. The purpose is best explained in question and answer number one of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And why do we do that? Because of what Christ has done for us. And you get a destiny. The destiny is that glorious place that Jesus Himself says, I go to prepare this place for you. And friends, to people who are confused, and that's about everybody you come across, that's good news you need to broadcast. Second headline is this. You know, for those who are confused, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. Secondly, for those who are weak, Jesus is the mighty God. The mighty God. You know, we harness all kinds of power. We've gone through, someone described history in this way. It's the discovery of the application of power. You have manpower, then horsepower, then steam power, then electric power, then atomic power. We harness power, but you know what? Physically, morally, spiritually, let's face it, we're 99-pound weaklings. And the irony, never escapes me every year in this nation of moral, spiritual weaklings. People who are moral and spiritually weak rise up in rebellion against the one who is the mighty God. A report just this week from the Omaha World Herald. Because of the Christian implication of a sign outside a school that simply flashes the word, remember the reason for the season. And by the way, that you could read about anything to that. But because they said it has a Christian implication, that sign was removed. I always found that interesting because in that same public school, a big satanic holiday is celebrated. It's called Halloween. In that school system, Jesus gets the shaft, the devil gets the gold mine. Think about that sign. What is the reason for the season? That sign that is blinking. It's the good news of the gospel of God's grace in Jesus. Listen, if God is the only source of true spiritual power, then Jesus is that power cord who bridges the infinite gap that exists between the power of God and the weakness, the unplugged weakness of our lives. Apart from a vital connection to Jesus Christ, we have about as much spiritual power as an unplugged lamp. Jesus puts it this way, apart from me, you can do nothing. Third headline is this. For those who are made for eternity, Jesus is the everlasting Father. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has placed eternity in our hearts. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, one of the finest books I've ever read, put it this way. If I find in myself a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the only possible explanation is that I was made for another world. See, by nature, by divine intent, we long to be in a place we have never been. We long to see a person we've never seen. Everybody in this room, everybody you encounter next week is made for eternity. But here's the problem. Not everybody is heading to the same eternal destination. Thomas Watson is one of my favorite authors. He's an old Puritan and he thinks and speaks in pictures. Listen to what he says. He says, to a child of God, that is someone who through faith in Christ has come into God's family. To a child of God, eternity is a day that has no sunset. But to a child of the devil, eternity is a night that has no sunrise. They need to realize this morning, whatever family you were brought up in, by nature, spiritually speaking, every one of us was born on the wrong side of the spiritual tracks. We are, by birth and by nature, children of the devil. And unless something happens, we're heading directly into a night with no sunrise. And you see, what we celebrate Christmas is when we trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus fathers a glorious eternity in our lives. There's a name for it. Jesus calls it being born again. I ask you this day, are you trusting in Christ alone this morning? Because if your trust is in Christ plus nothing else, you are reborn into eternal life. One other headline, and that's this. You know, confused, he's the wonderful counselor. Weak, he's the mighty God. Aching for eternity, he fathers eternity into your life. Fourth headline is this. For those who are conflicted, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, we always talk about peace. How do we have peace? And it's always externalized. You know, if something would happen out there, we'd have peace in here. If the Arabs and Jews would just get along. If the East and West would just get along. If people of different races would just get along. If this were different, if that were different, if I just had another job or another wife or another family or another church, that would bring me peace. But the problem is, the Bible makes it clear, peace has nothing to do with what's out here. You can be in the midst of absolute chaos, like the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and yet be at peace, because peace has everything to do with what's in here. And do you realize the only person who can change you from the inside out is the Prince of Peace? See, with Jesus inside of you, you can live at peace with God no matter what's going on around you. If you follow the words of Jesus, you can also live at peace with other people, with yourself, with everyone. You can live at peace because to know Jesus is to know peace itself. He is the Prince of Peace. If He's ruling in your heart, there's peace. If y'all are in conflict, you and Jesus, that area is going to be an area where there is no peace in your life. This Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Lord willing, we will congregate together as an extended church family. Annual Christmas Eve communion service. We'll not only celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, we will celebrate what He has done for us on the cross. And then next Sunday, in God's kind and wise providence, we will celebrate Christmas here. You will celebrate at your house, but the question is, will your celebration of Christmas be Christian? It can be, it must be. Friends, let us broadcast to our families and to each other and to our hearts and to this world the best news ever of the one who is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let us resolve here and now in the power of the Holy Spirit to celebrate this Christmas in a distinctively Christian way. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have not left us in the dark as to how we can celebrate this holiday. Lord, as we think of what You've done for us in Jesus Christ, may we be filled with wonder and amazement. Lord, we pray that our lips and our lives would offer praise and glory to You for what You've done for us in sending Your Son. And Lord, we pray that we would not only see ourselves as people who have received the good news of the gospel, but people who broadcast the good news of the gospel. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, deity and humanity together in one person. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Lord, help us to live in light of who Your Son is, and to make this Christmas the most Christian Christmas we've ever celebrated. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.